Hear the promises of God. God is near to all who call from their hearts. I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. For if we have been united with Christ in a death like Christ's, we shall certainly be united with Christ in a resurrection like Christ's.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome, whether you are a saint or a sinner or a little bit of both, whether it is your first time here or you've come to call this place home. Whoever you are, whoever you love, welcome to church. We'd love to know who is worshiping with us today. Please take up the black friendship pads at the aisle end of your pews and jot down your name, some contact info, maybe a prayer, and pass it along to the person next to you. Let us show you the hospitality on which we pride ourselves. This morning we will mark one of the holiest days of our church year, All Saints' Day. It is a day for coming together to remember and celebrate our loved ones who have passed into the great mystery beyond, but also to remember what we like to call the great cloud of witnesses. Now, this includes saints from the Bible like Abraham and Miriam and Saint Paul and all the Marys, but it also includes saints like Martin Luther King Jr. and our own Samuel Sewall, Phyllis Wheatley, and her friend Pompey, and beloved church members and friends like Eleanor Jensen and Flash Davis. Perhaps your great cloud of witnesses includes other loved ones who have encouraged you, nurtured you, loved you, and who are rooting you on from the great beyond. In the words of Sir Isaac Newton, if we have seen far, it is because we have stood on the shoulders of giants. This morning, our choir has a special treat for us as they will be sharing Morten Lauridsen's Lux Aeterna. We will also have a special ritual of remembering following the sermon, and Nancy will give you a bit of direction. But for this moment, I'd invite you to also look in your bulletin. There's a very helpful diagram. You're invited during our ritual of remembering to bring forward your white rose, symbol of your beloved dead, and place the rose on our communion table. If I invite you to, again, review that diagram, and the ushers will help you as we circulate around the sanctuary. We'll be going down this central aisle and then back around, and we ask everyone to do a full circuit of the sanctuary so that we don't have any traffic jams. And if you are concerned that you may not be able to make the full circuit, we invite you to give your flower to a neighbor next to you that they might bring it up to the communion table for you. While you are reviewing that very helpful diagram in your bulletin, I'd also invite you to take a look at our announcements. There are so many ways to be involved in this active urban congregation throughout the week. In particular, I just wanted to note a couple. This Wednesday is our Every Member Calling campaign, our prayer phone-a-thon. So if you get a phone call on Wednesday evening between 5 and 8, it may not be a telemarketer. It may be an actual person from Old South Church calling to wish you well and see if you have any prayer concerns you'd like to share with us. So we hope you will pick up. We hope to speak with you then. In 2 weeks, on November 17th, we'll have a very special ceremony following worship when we will dedicate the Crawford Library, named for our senior minister emeritus, Jim Crawford. We hope you'll join us for that. There are also ways to get involved with GBIO's healthcare rally tomorrow, and a lot of ways to get involved contributing coats, meals, toys, all kinds of things for our neighbors in need as we approach the holiday season. Please take a look and get involved. We have entered into a time of thin space, when the veil is pulled back just a bit. We believe in life and love beyond death. Come, let us worship the God of both the living and the dead.
Thank you. The reading comes from the apocryphal book, The Wisdom of Solomon, from the third chapter. The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God. And no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be an affliction, and their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. For though in the sight of men they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy of God's self. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth, and will run like sparks through the stubble. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever. Those who trust in him will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are upon God's elect, and God watches over them. A reading from the Book of Wisdom.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the eyes of the foolish, our beloved dead seemed to have died. So it is written in the apocryphal Book of Wisdom, in the eyes of the foolish, our beloved dead seemed to have died. But I say to you, not all is as it seems. Christians claim that 2,000 years ago, a Galilean from Nazareth, a carpenter's son, a self-taught rabbi, turned the world upside down and inside out. He changed the rules and subverted the order of things. And since then, for the past 2,000 years, Christians have inhabited and been privy to a world of reversals. The first will be last, the lost are found, the hungry fed, the mourners laugh, the lowly lifted up, the mighty taken down, the crooked made straight, the prisoner released, the ill healed, the blind sighted, sinners forgiven, and not least in Christ and through Christ in God's time, this, the dead are raised. Your beloved dead, raised. In the eyes of the world, sure, they seem to have died, but not all is as it seems. Christians claim that our dead are not dead but alive. This is a stunning claim, an audacious claim that our dead are not dead. That mortality, that great sticky wicket, that jam, that hardest of truths, which we can't bear and which most of us avoid contemplating at all costs. Christians claim that mortality isn't the jam it seems to be. Not quite the sticky wicket everyone assumes it to be. Christians claim that death is not the finale. There's an encore. Christians claim that God has made for us a way through death, across a sea to a farther shore where the saints gather in a greater light, where our beloved dead are not dead but alive, alive in God's transcendent love. Which means this: Christians are in possession of a most exquisite, the rarest, most precious, most defiant, and hard to get your hands on commodity there is, hope. We are in possession of and privy to hope. Hope is an attitude, a perspective. It's a way of seeing the world. C.S. Lewis wrote this: I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And that's what we're getting at here on All Saints' Day. That by Christianity, by its light, you might see everything else. By the light of the sun, S-U-N, by the light of the large fiery star at the center of our solar system, the kings of the world, potentates and czars, prime ministers and presidents, emperors and monarchs, by the light of the sun, they rule the world. But I say to you, not all is as it seems. I say to you that by the light of the sun, S-O-N, by the light of Christ, the kingdom of God is near. That it is Christ who is sovereign of all. The mighty, the haughty, the cruel are brought down from their thrones, and the lowly raised up. By the light of the sun, S-O-N, by the light of Christ, the first shall be last, The lost are found, the hungry fed, the mourners laugh, the crooked is made straight. In the light of Christ, the poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, all those who count for nothing in this world, count for very much in the kingdom of God. The poorest of the poor, the miserable refugee, the migrant suffering in detention, who count for little to nothing in this world, they are precious in God's sight. The challenge of All Saints' Day is for us to see the world by the light of Christ, refracted through resurrection. Now let me pause here and tell something true, to state what you already know, but I need to say it anyway. In the eyes of the world, you'd be a fool to believe these unbelievable things, these demonstrably unprovable things, like the lost will be found, the lowly lifted up, and the dead raised. I have a cousin who's a scientist, an entomologist. He studies bees, and he is a great guy. I love this cousin. But he thinks me an utter fool, a chump, a boob, a sucker, a dupe for believing these unbelievable things. Oh, he's too polite and kind to say it in so many words, but I know what he thinks. And just to be clear, I believe in science. I believe in the theory of evolution. I believe in microscopes and laboratories. My cousin's research areas include bee phylogeny, evolution, molecular systematics, and biodiversity, and I believe in all these things, whatever they are. And I get my cousin's position. I get that we can't prove what we claim to be true. I am not unaware of the foolishness, the audacity, nay, the pluck of the Christian position. I am not unaware that we could be wrong, that maybe there is no God. Maybe the dead, maybe our beloved dead, are dead as doornails. But maybe not. Maybe God is abroad upon the wide universe. Maybe there are untold mysteries stirring in the wind. Maybe there is a world beyond this world that is shimmering and lovely beyond our imagining. Maybe those first followers of Jesus who met him, who experienced him, shining and alive after he had been crucified, after he had died and was buried. Maybe they and his story, which has thrilled the world for over 2,000 years and given hope to the hopeless, maybe it is in its own way, in its own dimension, as true or even more true than science. Here is what I know. The stories we tell as Christians, the world we inhabit, the lens by which we are to see everything by the light of God, the hope to which we are privy, these are game changers. And if you step into this world and inhabit it, and see all things by its light, you will know the deepest peace and the highest hope. Such is the promise of the gospel. Ours is a world of divine reversals, a countercultural world where the norm of might makes right is subverted. It is a strange and lovely new world in which the crooked is made straight and the lowly are at last lifted up. It is a counterintuitive world in which it is the peacekeepers, not the fighters, who are held in the highest esteem. It is in this world that Christ is sovereign, and not the paltry heads of state who occupy the world's palaces. And by no means least, in this world refracted through the lens of resurrection, our beloved dead are not dead, but alive, alive in God's transcendent love. I get it, the audacity of this claim. I get it that it seems to the world as if it is death that is omnipotent. But I say to you, not all is as it seems. Amen. I invite you to remain standing. We do now for our beloved dead what human hearts and hands can do. We will make them visible. Let these long-stemmed roses represent those loved ones of ours who have died, and let them fill and spill over these vases. We will do this as pilgrims, moving together in two great circles. And you can see the map on page 9. Those in the galleries, as you descend, blend into those going towards the back of the church. Blend into the pilgrimage, and then circle around to the front. If any of you are unable to take the pilgrimage, we invite you to ask someone next to you to take your rose for you. Take up your flowers now. Let us embark upon this journey, the pilgrimage of our love, our losses, and above all, our hope in the God of heaven and earth, the God by whom death is defeated.
Thank you. join in our responsive call to prayer. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, precious in the sight of God is the death of God's faithful ones.
Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace.
Let us pray. O gracious God, on this special day of remembrance, a day in which we evoke the names and the memories of those who have gone before, we sense afresh that there is that unity between both life and what we call death, even though at times we may not sense it. We are grateful nonetheless, O God, for that connectedness, the breath of your spirit, more than just physical, but like an original blessing that says, "You are my child, and I will never leave you or forsake you." The breath of your spirit animates all of life, O God. From the first breath we took outside of our mother's womb, not just the physical breath, but the blessing breath, the breath of your spirit within us as we move from childhood into adulthood, the breath of your spirit as we advance in years, the breath of your spirit as we traverse the joys and the tribulations of life, and the breath of your spirit as we, by faith, move from this life to the next. You are with us on that journey. Oh, blessed God. And you have declared that all of life is a whole with you and with each other, our families, our neighbors, the immigrant, the refugee, the person next to us in the pew, that those who have gone before and those who will come after, all a whole. O gracious God, what a vision. Our only response is praise and gratitude. Now, in moments of silence, as we are comforted that our loved ones are in the circle of your care, let us shape their names on our lips as we remember them. And this day too, gracious God, as we remember them, we pray that that breath of life in all of its dimensions be with those in our congregation struggling with tough issues. Rodney, Maddie, Larry, David, Janice, Gary, Rachel, Nancy M., Martha, Max, and also for those who work and serve in places of possible danger, Fritz, Debbie's son, Tom, and for those who grieve the recent physical loss of loved ones, William, David, Phil, and may the breath of your eternal life and Spirit be with them and with us all. Even now, as we affirm your loving companioning presence, both in life and in death, as set forth in the words of the familiar psalm, saying together, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise be. Amen.
Thank you. Here is who a saint is. A saint has special access to the mind and heart of God. A saint is someone through whom the light of God shines powerfully and uniquely into the world, that their light draws the world to God. Here is who a saint is, someone through whom God can work miracles, all of which is to say, here is who a saint is, Peter and Paul, Martin Luther King, your second grade Sunday school teacher, your grandmother, you. Here is who a saint is, anyone who knows and loves God and answers God's call to be light and life in this world. And our offering is today's first step at accepting sainthood. Gifts offered today will go to support our ministries of justice, mercy, and beauty. This morning's offering will now be received.